Good afternoon, everyone. Should we start? You ready? Can we start, please? Members?
Let's start.
Can we start, please?
Come on, club members, and just begin.
Members, we start in 1 minute. They're uploading the presentation anyway, so we'll probably get it.
Sorry? Yeah, I think so.
Come on over. Good afternoon, everyone. We're going to start now. Can you please sit down? Hello. Thank you. My name is Rakesh Lachman. I'm from the Commonwealth Telecommunication Organization. I'm the Director of Finance and Administration. On my right, I've got Tracy Hawkshaw, who is a GAC representative of Trinidad and Tobago. And on my left, I've got Mark Hubbell, who is the GAC representative of United Kingdom. We're here to look at the Commonwealth agenda, and we circulated the agenda to all the members last week. I've just put that on the screen there, and I would just want to see if there's anything any members would like to add on it. No? Shall I take silence as concurrence? Should we start? I'll just give you a brief outline what CTO is and who we are and what we've been doing. We are one of the oldest organizations since 1901. Been engaged in multilateral collaboration in the field of ICT and uses its experience and expertise to support its members. What we've been doing, we are a membership organization, both of the government, private companies through our sector membership, and civil societies. We have three divisions that we work on, is the capacity and development and training, the research and consultancy, and event and conferences. Our priority areas are mobile broadband, regulatory environment, skill development and entrepreneurship, youth and ICT, ICT and disability, and cybersecurity. We also the coordinator for the Commonwealth position. Now, just a quick look out of what we have been doing in the last couple of months. We held the ICT, very first ICT ministers in London in March, where we were delegated to represent all the Commonwealth agenda. We also have developed the Commonwealth cyber governance model based on the Charter of the Commonwealth. We also have the link there attached for anyone who is interested to know more about it. We also drafted the Commonwealth approach to developing the national cybersecurity for several countries. Again, the link is attached. We also very much do a lot of capacity building across the Commonwealth itself and with our members. We have held several workshops, some of them which have been completed, one in Bangladesh, one in Vanuatu, Kenya and Barbados. We have one planned in Cameroon in 2 weeks' time and one in Botswana. We are helping selected countries to develop national cyber security strategies. For those who are interested, please do contact me so that we can talk about it. And we are also developing a model of data protection and privacy framework. Upcoming event for the CTO, we have the Digital Broadcasting Switchover Forum next week in Joburg. We have the Commonwealth E-Governance Forum in Kigali, Rwanda. We also have the Cybersecurity Forum on the 22nd and 24th of April in London. We also have the Broadband Forum in Abuja, Nigeria. This might be changed depending on the situation of the election, so we will keep you informed. We are holding the HR for ICT in Maputo, Mozambique, and we are also having our biggest forum, which is in September in Kenya. We are also having one workshop right now in Caribbean, which is hosted by the Antigua government, and Professor Tim Nguyen is there right now, and he sent his apology for not being here. We are also doing sub-region conference on cybersecurity in Yaoundé, as I said, in 2 weeks' time. And then on capacity building, we are having a workshop on understanding the big picture on the 9th to 13th in London, and all members are invited to attend. Now, let's go very quickly on the agenda. So just before we do that, this is a meeting primarily to address matters over which Commonwealth GAC representative might wish to reach agreement, but more principally, it produced an opportunity for us to update on work by the CTO on the Commonwealth. This is your meeting. We are here to help you to have one voice, and we can share that with the GAC and in other meetings. I will now let Tracy, if you can just have the thing, and I will put your... Yeah, give me one sec.
All right, good afternoon, everyone. I'm going to give... These slides are very wordy. I took it from a document, so I hope you can see what's happening here. The basic update for the CCI with the Commonwealth Cybercrime Initiative has been, since our last discussion, I believe you were aware of it being under the jurisdiction of another organization. Since then, the Commonwealth Secretariat has taken over the management and secretariat for it, and has been doing some significant work in progressing the initiative forward. On this slide, there's a listing of the proposals that they're taking forward, including one on virtual currencies. There's also public awareness of cybercrime, national cybersecurity strategies, and mutual legal assistance in electronic evidence. I may not have the time to go through all of these, but I certainly direct your attention to those are the areas in which the CCI will be focusing on in the next year or two in addition to its specific engagements with the countries that you're going to see coming up here. In Ghana, significant progress was made in the Ghana Initiative. There a meeting in December from a ComSec team was done in Ghana, and senior officials, the Ministry of Communications and Justice, basically ComSec has been looking to work with the Ghanaian government and the Ministry of Communications to do several initiatives on the CCI front, and is proposing to work with the ITU, IWF, ECPAT, and NCACEOP in delivering initial or some additional work on the CCI. This year, funds were provided by the Foreign Commonwealth Office. Is that correct, Tim, FCO? Foreign Commonwealth Office, to undertake a review of the Ghanaian legislation on cybercrime. Professor Ian Walden, University of London, is recruited to undertake this work. The first draft of the report has been received and is now being reviewed by the CCI team. I'm going to go quickly through these initiatives here. Virtual Currencies Roundtable. This is something that has been proposed as a new initiative. As you will see here, it's been recognized by several organizations, global organizations, Interpol, Europol, the FBI, and so on, as a potential facilitator of both crime and terrorism. The CCI is looking at this seriously, and it's proposed to host an event coming up shortly with a number of CCI members to participate in. I cannot give an update as to the location at this point. I'm going to have to verify where this event will be happening. On the Cybercrime Public Sector Advocacy. This is another project that's being proposed by the CCI initiative. And in this public sector advocacy event, initiative, the proposal is to ensure that governments in particular are aware of cybercrime and what the ramifications and issues are. The proposal is to seek support from the Foreign Commonwealth Office this week and this year, and in the long term, they expect this to be permeated throughout all governments to ensure that there is significant awareness within the government sector in particular on cybercrime. Go ahead. Thanks. We can go on to the next one. What's the cyber games? Right, so national cybersecurity strategies. The Commonwealth is proposing, as per the meeting of Commonwealth Law Ministers in 2014, to develop a series of strategies in the Commonwealth regions, and it's going to complement the work done by the CTO in this area. So I know that the CTO just spoke on doing some of that work, and I won't speak any further on that at this point in time. Another series of work that's under the CCI that's being led by ComSec is Mutual Legal Assistance Electronic Evidence Area. Again, the project is seeking the support of the Foreign Commonwealth Office to deliver a series of frameworks and assistance in this regard. And if there's any interest by countries in something along these lines, I would encourage you to send your requests in to the CCI initiative at this point in time. Next slide. So I'm going to return to the brief updates on each country, very brief. Botswana. The Botswana project is underway. Again, Professor Ian Walden is undertaking a review of legislation in that country, and that mission is imminent and due to begin shortly. In Dominica, a need assessment was conducted. I see the representative of the Dominican government actually in the room. Maybe you want to give an update on what's happened since. As you can see in this update, it's indicated that after the election in December 2014, there will be progress as to what has happened. Maybe Dominica can give an update, brief update.
Well, since the election, actually, we have completed the cyber security needs assessment is now before cabinet for ratification, and we have also completed the cybercrime strategy, which the OAS did in conjunction with the Commonwealth Office. So we have the strategy and the needs assessment before cabinet for approval, and hopefully within the next quarter we should begin to establish the CCERT, and so we will be following up with the COMSEC and the COE, the Council on Europe, for capacity building in that area. But that's where we are now.
Thank you, Dominica. In Trinidad and Tobago, there has been significant work with the CCI. We have done a needs assessment. We have done, and I'm from that country, so I can give a little more background on that. And there's been a child protection study undertaken, which is being reviewed by the EMC as we speak. And in this particular go-around, there's been funding for a full legislative review that's been approved and is about to be conducted in Trinidad and Tobago, details of which are being worked out by the Ministry of National Security in that country. In India, a significant event was that a presentation was made at a major conference in New Delhi, and subsequent to that conference, the work of the CCI was praised, and it's expected that the government of India and the CCI will be doing work shortly in this area. And wrapping up, a major project on child online protection is being pursued by the CCI in conjunction with the UK government. And there are several initiatives that are currently underway, including one I mentioned in Trinidad and Tobago, as well as working with other of the Commonwealth countries in this regard. And again, I would encourage each member country to seek assistance from the CCI if this issue is perceived to be one that is important in your country, and to make those needs known to us very quickly. Another major thrust of the CCI is a regional approach that has been adopted. So in the cases of, in Africa in particular, East Africa, what the CCI is trying to do is harmonize, utilizing the countries that are already in the program, and replicate that initiative throughout the region where feasible. And in that way, they're able to share the knowledge and share the learning that one country or two countries would have gotten from the initiative. So in East Africa, we've already gotten something going based on work done in Uganda. And in this way, the Governor of New Zealand and the Commonwealth Secretariat are exploring to be doing more work with the Pacific Islands in particular. The final slide will basically tell you what happened in Uganda. The COMSEC team met with representatives of the Ugandan government and sought to implement outcomes from the needs assessment. The discussions focus on the intention of Uganda to seek support from the FCO for implementation, and the COMSEC provided that support to the government agency as it made that submission. The UNODC has continued to progress the recommendation to provide support to the criminal justice sector through training and resource assistance through the East African region, and again a submission to the FCO has been submitted for funding to the regional training in East Africa. In addition, Tanzania has worked with the UNODC to conclude a needs assessment. I understand the Tanzanian rep is in the room. Is there any update you'd like to give to this Tanzania? Would you like to give an update as to what has happened in Tanzania on this issue? Yes?
Is it now?
Do you want to give an update? Or
is it now?
Yes,
now?
Yes, you can give an update now.
Okay.
Thank you.
What has happened is only that we have already set up our computer emergency response team, and it's operational. We are still building around it for more services to be provided to the community. We have started with the government, and there are some alerts, but we want to do on more on forensic and instant handling processes. And we perhaps later on we may have a talk on what do we want again further to that. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Tanzania. And just to wrap up finally, the Commonwealth Heads of Government meeting will be held in Malta this year, and it's expected that the CCI progress will be presented there for the ratification and to formally concretize the agenda, which I began to outline earlier with the new projects that are being listed for delivery within the Commonwealth region. So as I said, just to wrap up, any issue that you currently have in these areas, it is very useful to submit this request now through the CCI, through your contacts in your various ministries or yourselves if you are the contact. Make those requests now so that the requests that are coming in can be formally tabled as part of the overall package that will be going to the TROGA meeting in Malta. Thank you very much. That was quick enough. Are there any questions or anything further on the CCI? I'm sorry for going so quickly, but yes.
Hi, Shiva Bisasa Fellowship Program. A couple of questions. So the document itself, is that publicly available?
I'll have to verify what I can. I actually took this from a series of meetings that were held, but I'm sure I can deliver a version of that and probably share it with the CTO to share amongst the GAC members.
Okay. As a private business, how can I get involved in these types of initiatives? Is this restricted to government only being involved?
Well, given that you're from Trinidad-Tobago, the CTU is one of the agencies who are helping with the Commonwealth Cybercrime Initiative, if I'm not mistaken, and I'm seeing the representative from the CTU in the room. So perhaps if you're offering any support or facilitation support to that, you can liaise with the CTU. Because it goes through a series of there's an operational committee and with all the various agencies that sit and discuss. And the CTU will be one of those agencies that you may want to liaise with. It will not be individual consultants or along those lines, but there's an opportunity to share resources, share expertise, even regionally and across, like from Caribbean to Pacific and so on.
Thank you, Tracy. Should we just go to Mark now so that you can update us on the potential area of harmonization and the WSIS? Thank you.
Yes, thank you, Rakesh, and good afternoon, everybody. I think we've got about 20 minutes or so, 25 minutes. For this second part of the meeting, it's only 1 hour, not 2 hours, as was on the GAC agenda. You'll be glad to hear. So we can all head off for lunch at about 1 o'clock. And I just wanted for the next item on the agenda with regard to ICANN issues, just to kind of have a little bit of an exchange here. I'm not intending. You'll be very glad to hear to recount in detail any of the issues that we've been discussing here and also hearing about elsewhere during this ICANN meeting with regard to, well, in particular with regard to IANA stewardship transition and accountability. The first item we have here is safeguards regarding new GTLDs. And we had a discussion about this in the GAC on the opening day, I think, on Saturday, as I recall. And generally, the GTLD's dossier for the GAC has been rather overshadowed by the IANA stewardship transition and enhancing accountability workloads. But it's still there in the agenda, of course, and we, as I say, we had this session on safeguards and in particular the implementation of GAC advice with regard to the highly regulated sector domain name applications, those 40 applications that were aimed at the health, financial, gambling and charities sectors primarily. It's about 40 odd domains. And as we discussed on Saturday, if you were here for the opening of the GAC meeting, there's a sense that the GAC advice, which has been consistent since the Beijing meeting, that ICANN had to take particular care with these applications because they seek registrations by people active in highly regulated sectors. So an entity claiming to be a bank wanting to register under .bank, well, that has to be checked out. Who exactly are they? Are they actually a bank, for example? So that was the kind of challenge, really. We wanted to ensure that the people running these domains were undertaking commitments to ensure that the consumer interest was being protected by validating who these registrants were under their domains as they roll out, and ensuring that that was a consistent process of consumer safety through regular monitoring and so on. So that remains a big issue for the GAC, I feel, and there's more work to be done and more messages to be conveyed. The European Commission and the US are leading on drafting some text as a result of the discussions we had on Saturday. And we'll have to see how the dialogue with ICANN goes. And there is also agitation in the rest of the community. We've heard proposals that these applications, including those for which contracts have already been issued, should be frozen until this corrective action, if you like, to ensure proper implementation of the GAC advice and consistency amongst the public interest commitments that some, not all, have undertaken to apply in their registry business activities. Until we see those that sort of raising of the bar, if you like, of safeguards for these particular domains, until we get to that position of confidence, there are proposals from the ALAC and the business constituency to have these domains put on ice. And there was some discussion in the GAC as to whether we would support that or feel it was excessive, that the corrective action could be undertaken and it would not need for those businesses to have to put a halt to all their rollout of their business plans. So that's generally the situation. And I'd be interested to hear from colleagues here amongst the Commonwealth community if they have any particular views on that, if they feel that the GAC is taking the right approach, and if they feel, looking ahead to future rounds, these particular kinds of applications targeting these highly regulated sectors. We've all got banking institutions, financial institutions. We are all, as part of our digital strategies, looking for online health programs to roll out, and governments working in partnership with the private sector. So these, you know, the future for prospects for these kinds of domains are going to increase, and there will be more interest, I would have thought, in applications for similar kinds of top-level domains. So I'll be interested if there is anybody who wants to say something now about that, how they reflect on that, whether they feel the GAC is taking the right approach, and indeed what they would like to see in the communique, coming from our respective Commonwealth perspectives. Does anybody have a thought about that, or any suggestions as to how we might articulate a kind of Commonwealth line with regard to regulated sector GTLDs? Does anybody have any thoughts on that, or want to share any experience? No? So, okay. Well, I plant that with you. And looking ahead, more generally, with regard to the expansion of the domain name system, I wonder if we might, as a Commonwealth group, collate some thoughts and experience about how to promote awareness of the next GTLD round. We were all very critical about the level of response from stakeholder communities in developing countries was very low. We were very critical of ICANN in its outreach and promotion of awareness of the GTLD first round. I plant the idea perhaps that we as a Commonwealth group might collate some thoughts about how to inform and advise and make recommendations to ICANN and their global engagement, stakeholder engagement team, how they might ensure that that doesn't happen again, that the level of interest among stakeholders is greater about the opportunities for new top-level domains in a future round, which, if the prices come down and the experience of the domain names community and also of brands in the first round starts to sort of disseminate to medium-sized businesses, it just doesn't become the opportunity for big corporate business. In future, we may see medium-sized businesses or even individual small businesses feel that they and their global business prospects would be enhanced by having a top-level domain. Can we as a Commonwealth group perhaps see this as something we might look at and help promote awareness of GTLD rounds and the opportunities for SMEs in the future? Any thoughts on that? Do you think that's a good idea? Yeah, please.
Nigel Casimir, CTU. We're based in Trinidad and Tobago. I think it's a good idea for the discussion to take place around the Commonwealth. From my own experience, I can say that I expect whenever a second round takes place that it would be quite different from the first one. You talked about maybe lack of awareness in terms of the developing countries last time around and the price or the investment that was required in terms of making a submission. I think both of those messages have been sent and received from every single constituency meeting that I've attended. I think in the interim as well, ICANN has significantly enhanced its global outreach staff and infrastructure. We have a rep now in the Caribbean, and certainly from my interfacing with him, it's clear that the message has been sent. It's clear that the interests, say, of our region have been put to him, and that he's making up representations. I think in addition to the fact that ICANN hasn't set a timetable yet for a second round, I think is also indicative of, I guess, messages sent that let's see what happens with this one and so that we can better inform what goes on with the next round. So all that being said, my expectation is that it's going to be quite different, and but it still remains a good strategy for, you know, the Commonwealth countries, especially the developing countries, to remain in contact and collaboration in terms of whenever the second round is announced, in terms of making our inputs. Thanks.
Please. So I just wanted to point out that the GAC does have a working group that's been set up to deal with applicant support for developing economies. As a matter of fact, there's been some discussion as to whether we should broaden that to treat with larger issues or more issues than strictly the new TTLD program. Of course, several attempts have been made to garner some comments on the existing initiative that happened and what went wrong on applicant support and the whole DNS industry. The feedback has been not encouraging thus far. But what I encourage everyone to do is to contact your secretariat for those who are not in a working group, please do contact the GAC secretariat, because there is a working group set up for that purpose. And as I indicated just a few minutes ago, that it's likely to also include other issues that will be of importance to developing and or underserved economies, including the issue that came up earlier about the registrar issue and the insurance and the deposits and so on, as well as larger capacity building issues for developing countries. So please do see the secretariat to add your name to the list, and once again we will probably try and indicate or try and galvanize some kind of support for that comments and collaboration going forward. Thank you.
Mark?
Okay, thanks, Tracy. That's a very helpful reminder of that opportunity to provide inputs into the thinking and so on. And okay, so just very briefly on IANA stewardship transition and enhancing accountability. We've seen the emergence of a proposal with four variants, and there's perception that it's quite complex. That's a perception. I think that might settle down into understanding, well, these are fairly straightforward provisions in the proposal that allows for a multi-stakeholder engagement in the stewardship process through the MRT. Mechanism for monitoring the IANA functions operators' performance and so on. So actually, I think the arguments that this is over-engineered and overdone and too complicated and too risky, I think that my perception is that that concern may be overstated. And you can't transition from a backstop provided by the US government to nothing. You can't just simply hand over the whole thing to ICANN without creating new some new mechanisms to replace what the US government has been providing as a backstop. So that's my perception. I don't know if anybody else wants to chip in with their own thoughts about this. But I have a kind of question about the level of engagement and awareness in our respective communities throughout the Commonwealth. If you've got any concerns about that in terms of who is driving the cross-community work, and how much awareness there is within your communities of stakeholders about the importance of this and the opportunities that are coming up to react through the public comment periods and also to engage with the GAC representatives, you know, who are, as members of a chartering organisation, are going to sign off on the process and potentially even sign off on the proposal ultimately. So how is that happening within your experience within your Commonwealth country communities? I'd be interested to hear. I mean, are there points that we should advance from our respective experience in particularly in those communities in developing countries in particular, about how this process has been rolling out and the level of awareness and the opportunity to contribute through the public comment periods. So I put that out to you as if anybody wants to react to that now as anybody want to say anything on that? Or are we all totally overwhelmed by what's been going on here? Tracy, go on and have a go. Thanks.
Hi, thanks, Mark. So I am aware that in the Caribbean region, and maybe Nigel will say something, I don't know, that ICANN has been very vocal and has been presenting on several occasions in the region through its representative. However, my take on it is that the presentations have been given to a lot of ambivalent type audiences and who have not really understood or sought to understand the potential ramifications of what's happening, both on the overall transition process and in particular the ICANN accountability issue. Even within the GAC, I believe there's a significant difference in interest between the countries who may be most affected or most interested and those who are basically sitting around and looking at it and seeing what's happening next. So maybe an opportunity is, for the Commonwealth to do some kind of briefing paper, some kind of a step-by-step or what it means for the countries, both the transition and the accountability process, to ensure that at least we understand what's happening and give an opportunity to comment and maybe formulate a position before it's too late. That's my take on it.
Can I also add that we can actually hold a parallel session in Kenya in September if there's an issue we can discuss about ICANN.
At the
forum, CTO forum.
Well, I think that's an interesting idea. I mean, the timing sounds right. Yeah, anyway. So that, first of all, African, yeah. CTO, yeah.
Yes, Nigel Casimir. And I agree with Tracy in terms of the what has been happening in the Caribbean. And while people are hearing the about the issue, you know, I don't think there's a full appreciation of what it means to them, you know. It's still kind of something happening out there. It's an interesting point that Tracy mentioned about the opportunity to do a paper on it. And you, Mark, mentioned a fundamental issue that, you know, I've been trying to determine for some time as regards the stewardship transition one. You talked about a backstop presented by the U.S. government. What are the elements of that backstop that are being given up when the U.S. government transitions its stewardship? And what is being put in place to replace it? And so if we can say the U.S. government was providing point one, two, and three, and in the transition, number one will be handled by this organization, two by that organization, and so on. I certainly don't have a good sense of what is being given up in terms of taking the U.S. government out of the picture. And it's not so easy to find. In fact, I at one point spent a little time, not a lot of time, going into some of the documentation, like the contract with ICANN and so on, but It would have required more time than I could have put in at the time, but I think that would be some useful information for us to understand what is it that the U.S. government has been providing that is being taken away, and such that we can analytically look and see, well, okay, this function is going here, that function is going there, and so on. Thanks.
Thank you, CTU. Any other comment?
Thank you, Chair. I think in response to your request, we don't have a lot of interaction with IANA. I mean, I can recall a couple of occasions where we deal with IANA more to sort of update the some of the records in the zone file, and when we implement the IDN, so it's sort of the dedication of the IDN strings. So generally, we have not many problems with IANA. Of course, this may not be representative of other CCTLD who may have a lot of difficulties with the IANA. But I mean, looking at the issue objectively, we have a feeling that the model that put forward so far by CWA is too complicated. We agree that when you transit IANA function to a multi-stakeholder, I think we just need to abide by certain principles like multi-stakeholder models, accountability, appeal process. But other than that, we should sort of look for a simple and effective model. I think, as you know, Kevin, the three communities, the address, the protocol, well, they seem to have quite happy, I mean, with some of the improvement made in the process, and they submitted the proposal. It's only the name community. So, and judging from the feedback I know from yesterday's interaction with the CWG and other forum, there seems to be some people seems to be thinking of maybe we should step back and then look for and ask ourselves whether we really need such elaborate models for the transition. Maybe a simpler model with improvement of to take care of the accountability, the appeal process, the some of those issues. I mean, on the whole, our views is that the proposal perhaps can be simplified somewhat rather than there's so many permutations in the model. Thank you.
Thank you, Singapore. Mark, can you just be very brief on the IGF?
Singapore.
Yeah, I'm just very briefly on that. I mean, I think the CWG is going to reflect on exactly that sentiment, that the way it's being presented is creating actually a perception that it's very complicated. But actually, when you look at it, just sort of the key elements, it's quite simple. You know, you have to have some kind of an appeal panel of some sort. You have to have the stakeholders engaged, and you have to have the customers interests taken care of. So I think the CWG will go away and streamline and communicate the proposal. Maybe some elements can be stripped out, but anyway, okay. We're under time pressure, so I'll just quickly go to for just to flag up really what else is happening. And there's something pretty big. It's the WSIS Plus 10 review, which I expect most of you will be familiar with. As we understand it from the UK government perspective in terms of process, the key event, which is the culmination of this review, I mean, it started with a UNESCO event a couple of years ago, and ITU had a high-level meeting in Geneva last year on the WSIS review. This is all going to culminate in a high-level meeting in New York and at the UN, or certainly run by the General Assembly in December of this year. it should be open to stakeholders. It should not entirely be run and managed by missions, the government missions in New York. The second committee, which negotiated the modalities for this review, said the actual high-level meeting should have some involvement of stakeholders. How? We don't know. I'll explain very shortly the point to look out for us all to look out for with regard to that. Secondly, the second committee said that there should be a preparatory process that would involve outreach to non-governmental stakeholders. So that would run from September through to December. Again, the modalities are not yet decided. The modalities for both the preparatory process and the high-level meeting itself will be decided by two co-facilitators, two ambassadors in New York, one from a developed economy and one from a developing economy. They will be appointed in June. We don't know yet who they are. There are sort of feelers going out as to who might be interested in undertaking that role. So the two facilitators firstly will decide how the stakeholder engagement will take place, how ICANN, for example, will be involved, but also the business sector, internet society, non-academics, civil society, and so on, how they're going to be able to contribute to an outcome from the high-level meeting, which is some kind of document which is going to set the WISIS agenda from 2016 onwards. So that's basically our understanding of the process. If anybody else does have some insights to share with us, that's great. Again, I think it's important for the Commonwealth community to understand this, because Commonwealth institutions and processes and websites and so on can broadcast the importance of stakeholder engagement in this final phase of the WISIS review. Because it's going to impact on ICANN in terms of the future of the multi-stakeholder model, the future of the IGF, the Internet Governance Forum. And that is another important point for us all to consider, the renewal of the mandate of the Internet Governance Forum. It was there was an attempt by Mexico, which wants to host it in 2016, to get the second committee last December to agree to renew the mandate then. That was opposed. So this decision about the future of the IGF is not going to be taken until the WISIS Plus 10 review takes place within that context. So again, I think it's important for the Commonwealth to gear up for this process of engagement, both at the government level and also at the stakeholder level. And the governments and the Commonwealth institutions like the CTO and the Commonwealth Secretariat and the regional bodies in the Caribbean, Africa and elsewhere, and also the regional and national IGFs that involve Commonwealth states, should really gear up and get this message out. Now is the time to engage on how internet is going to be governed in the future. I hope that's helpful. Anybody want to chip in on that and react? Nigel.
Yeah, yes, if I may, Nigel Hickson, ICANN staff. Yes, indeed, the WISIS Plus 10 review is something which ICANN is taking very seriously. We've been involved in the preparation process, the conferences hosted by both UNESCO and the ITU, and we're involved in the UN CSDD process in terms of drafting input documents for this review in New York in December. As you say, it's slightly unclear what's going to happen and what might be decided. The review itself is on the WISIS outcomes. It's not supposed to, if you like, be a summit on the future of internet governance, but by its very nature, by the fact that 190 governments or whatever will gather, there will be a debate on the future of internet governance in one shape or form. And I've just come from talking to civil society, which I apologise for being late for this meeting, and civil society are asking questions about the future of the multi-stakeholder approach, how they become involved in these international negotiations. And of course it's quite difficult. But I think the Commonwealth has a particular role to play here, because the Commonwealth represents countries in so many different regions and represents countries that have done so much in terms of spearing internet growth, in spearing internet accessibility. And I think as we come to these discussions, we have to remember that having one unified internet has made such a difference. And if we are going to go down the road of fragmentation, the real economic costs that that will entail for so many different countries. Thank you.
Thank you, Nigel. Before I wrap up, is there any further comments? Yes, Singapore.
I don't know whether members can, Kavin can share a bit of insight. You know, we heard there's a Ned Mandel initiative. Do you see that as a, and you talk about WSIS, and then we have Ned Mandel initiative that's going on now. And now he has sort of moved to World Economic Forum. So how do you see these two sort of initiative? Were there some convergence, or they are going to be proceed in a different way? Thank you.
Thanks. It's a very important question. The Ned Mandel initiative, which was launched by the World Economic Forum, has now got some kind of council authority, which has representation from the US government and from the European Commission, amongst others. ICANN is a partner alongside the Brazilian Steering Committee on Internet Governance. So this is taking off, but it's going through a kind of consultative phase. So it's pretty much for us in the UK a watching brief. We think it could complement the IGF rather than undermine it or cut ground from the IGF. We would be very worried, especially as we're a donor to the IGF, we put money into the IGF. We would be very worried if the Ned Mandel initiative started to sort of take ground away from the IGF at this time of mandate renewal. And of course, we've seen the IGF very well supported and moving forward with implementing improvements and so on. So we were very apprehensive and about the emergence of this Ned Mandel initiative, when we had been saying in the UN, in the Commission on Science and Technology for Development, we don't want any new processes. The existing mechanisms are working well, and they attract stakeholder support and including the support of a lot of governments. So it's a bit of a watching brief. We potentially see it as contributing very effectively on capacity building and bringing in some heavyweight industry business interests into the sphere of internet governance, steering that into capacity building in developing countries and creating the opportunity for a platform and a portal for advice, expertise for developing country administrations and business communities in developing countries to tap into. That sounds a very positive opportunity. And I would hope that's the direction it'll go. Now, ICANN is here as Nigel and might want to say something as a partner about Ned Mandel initiative. Did you want to say something?
Thank you very much, Mark. I'll just be very brief, because I think where the Ned Mandel initiative, if you like, intersects with WSIS, is that under the WSIS process, one of the calls at the, if we go right back to the World Summit in 2003 and 2005, one of the concerns of governments, one of the legitimate concerns of governments, was how governments are involved in public policy discussions on internet issues. Obviously within ICANN, governments are involved in the GAC, of course, and the fantastic representation we have in the GAC from governments. But in other areas of internet governance, often there isn't this involvement. And then, of course, we had the excellent discussions in São Paulo last year at the Ned Mandel conference that Brazil hosted, which clearly showed how governments could be involved in a process that involved all stakeholders discussing important issues such as surveillance. And the Ned Mandel Initiative, this platform that's been created by the partners in the Ned Mandel Initiative, again will give a platform where all the stakeholders can come together to discuss certain issues. Now, it's unclear what those issues will be. It'll be up to the participants in the coordination committee, which has been formed, to identify an issue, cybersecurity, privacy, whatever, and then bring together people to discuss that, bring all the stakeholders together to discuss it.
Thank you. Thank you, Nigel. Shall we wrap up now due to the fact that we are overrunning by 5 minutes? One more thing.
Yes, thanks. Can I just make one suggestion as a sort of takeaway from this meeting? Perhaps we could do a kind of calendar of key Commonwealth events and how they intersect with the WSIS plus 10 timeline, if you like, up to December. And also the dates for public comment periods that I mentioned in respect of IANA and accountability. If we could put that kind of calendar up on the CTO website, is that a... And maybe that could be shared by other websites too. I think it's an important opportunity in terms of, or mechanism for enhancing awareness. Thank you.
Yeah, I think this is an excellent idea. Before I just another thing that we discuss, we will do a parallel session, most probably in Kenya. I'm going to consult internally and probably will talk to Nigel and see if we can do that in Kenya for the consultation. And as suggested by Mark, we'll look at the key dates of the event until December. Thank you. I'd like to thank Mark and Tracy, and thank you, everyone. I know I have taken time for your lunch, but we will send you a brief minutes as soon as possible. Thank you very much for...